Also, Matt Hayes, college football writer for USA Today. I hope the Marble Moth at Crawford County is listening, because it said new at USA Today. The short con is complete. Michigan got its national title at the cost of its reputation. I was like, man, this would have been a big-time deal in 1987.
Or 2005.
I don't think it matters anymore. I'd much rather be a national champion where everybody thinks I'm the biggest bastard who ever lived than a real prestigious loser. I don't think this matters anymore. It's a nice sentiment. I'm glad there's people like that who still try to hold people to an accountability of being of good standing, but I don't think anybody really cares. The money's too deep. They're all chasing championships anymore. And all you want to do as a fan is see the baby. If Ohio State, guys, you got to admit, if Ohio State had these same allegations against them, you wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. I don't care about Michigan. I thought at the beginning it was going to get so bad, and I didn't think that they were going to win a national championship over it, that maybe they should do something about Harbaugh then and maybe do a preemptive strike. But now that they won a championship, I'm like, they ain't going to take that away. I mean, the NCAA might try to, but they're toothless anymore.
Right.
And you'll still always have the memory, and you can hang any banner you really want to, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly. And doing this in the era where the NCAA has lost so much power and is going to continue to lose so much power, and for as long as we know these things drag out, I would not be surprised if by the time that we are done talking about this scandal in 5 years or however long it's going to actually drag out, because that's what these things do, if major Division I college football is not part of the NCAA again. I would not be surprised if that's the case.
If it's not a part of it? Or
yeah, if they just break off and do their own thing.
Oh,
and because the NCAA is not necessary for football programs like Michigan, like Ohio State, like Power 5 programs. They don't need the NCAA. The NCAA is needed by non-revenue sports, needed by a lot of basketball teams, but it's not needed for major college football. Now, is it needed for the MAC? Sure. But that's a different different world.
They might break off and do their own thing, which, you know what? The CW is out there. Maybe the CW would put them on. I think their product, the product of the CW is great, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I haven't watched LIV Golf, but I'm talking about the college football stuff. Their college football presentation, I think, is excellent. Let me go to the phones here. Back to the Browns. Lance in Painesville. Hello, Lance.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much, bud. Go ahead.
I think that the high expectations in the Cleveland Browns, for the most part, have been bad as far as the tendency of track record. Now, I get it. Deshaun Watson has a fully guaranteed contract, which sets him apart from everybody else. But you got a lot of quarterbacks that got $200 million north contracts. Now, I'm sure their fan bases with the Chargers and the Bills and the Ravens and the Eagles, all those team quarterbacks getting $200 million contracts. It's not fully guaranteed, but I'm sure they all want Super Bowls too.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, maybe one of those quarterbacks might win a Super Bowl, including Deshaun Watson. At the same time, but I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on that 2007 Browns team. I think they were a little more talented than this year's. Browns
wow,
team.
You thought the 2007 team had more talent than this one?
Yeah, Braylon Edwards, Kellen Winslow, Jamal Lewis.
Oh, Braylon Edwards, he ain't
no.
Amari Cooper?
I would rather have Amari Cooper.
He holds the record for the most touchdown catches in a single season for the Browns. I mean, no wide receivers caught
Lance,
one touchdown.
Lance, you would take Braylon Edwards over Amari Cooper?
I didn't say I would take him. I didn't say I would take him. I said as far as on paper, that team was more talented than this year's incoming team. You know, you don't have Chubb yet.
I would rather have Denzel Ward, even with the concussion issues, and MJ Emerson than Eric Wright and Lee Bodden. I mean, you get what I'm saying here, right?
I got you.
Willie McGinnis. Lance. Willie McGinnis walking around, which I would never say to his face because he would stuff me in a locker. But Willie McGinnis walking around, I'd much rather have Myles Garrett than him.
What about DeQuell Jackson, him or Myles Garrett?
DQ was good in any generation. I'm never going to go after DQ.
Yeah, but he's not Myles Garrett.
But Lance.
Deshaun Watson, I think Deshaun Watson, here's what he got to do.
All right.
Just win those close games. I don't care about the yards. I don't care about 300 yards, three touchdowns, average. Just if he can throw for 185 yards, but keep the team close and just throw a winning touchdown or lead us to a winning drive or a field goal, I'll be satisfied with that. You don't have to necessarily knock my socks off with 5,000 yards and 35 touchdowns and whatever. Just keep it close and win close. That's what he's known for anyway. as far as just winning the close games, mm-hmm. like he did in the Ravens game. You know, he's more of a dramatic type player. He's not a volume guy who's going to knock your socks off with a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. I'll be satisfied with that because he can win games. He's proven that.
Lance, thank you very much for the call. Like, I do think at the end, like, I think he's got one more, 3 more years on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
After three, well, with the dead cap and everything, if you get the 3 more years on the deal, I just don't want to be forced into a situation where.
And that includes this year.
Sooner, yeah, but I don't want to be forced into a situation where it's sooner than later. Like, we might get 2 years down the road and go, okay, like, we've kind of been through this before. Now it's time to make a change at that position. That might be perfectly fine. I mean, they're trying to talk about that in Dallas right now, and I disagree with them to a great extent, but they're trying to convince themselves of that in Dallas. And you saw they were trying to convince themselves like crazy of Trey Lance. Trey Lance just don't have it, so
no,
I don't.
He stinks.
They're trying to do what they can. We might get to that level. I just don't want to do it by. I don't want to do it by September 29th.
I mean, that's what I'm trying not to do. Ideally, you would like to see him play good football.
Yeah,
that would solve a lot of this conversation that we're having. It's just you trust him to do so. I don't personally, but. If you trust him to do so and he does, then this Browns team is going to be in a great spot, and we should aspire to see them do more than just make the playoffs he's a good quarterback.
I want to take a few more than I want to get to the Cleveland Guardians here in a second because I still don't think it's too late to mend. Jim in Concord Township. Jim, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you. Jim, go ahead.
I want to talk about Stefanski. I really like the guy. I'm not saying this because I want him to get fired because I hope he's the guy that leads us to the promised land, but if we stumble, we know this team is built for now. So if we start stumbling, there's only two. I would be patient with him even if we did, unless there's two guys out there that have been to the promised land that are out there, Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick. So if we stumble, those are the only two guys. Andy Reid's already in Kansas City. But I wouldn't change Stefanski unless I took one of those two guys that already have championships. What do you think of that?
Well, Jim, we're talking about two men in their 70s.
Pete Carroll's going to be 74 next season.
And he's a professor right now. Now, Pete Carroll's a high-energy guy. Belichick, would you want to change out your entire... Like, we're not talking about firing the coach, by the way. That's not what Jim's saying. Belichick, you have to basically change out... And maybe he's changed, maybe he's willing to change the entire front office structure for Bill Belichick. And I don't know if he's going to have enough time with me to be able to do that.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we wouldn't let him change the whole front office.
Then I don't think he'd take the job.
Maybe he'd come in if he saw the talent and said, hey, I could win with this team.
I mean, maybe. You
know what I mean?
Stefanski's
my guy. I hope
of course.
Stefanski gets us through, you know, but that was just something I was thinking.
Oh, Kevin's great. Jim, thank you for the call. I'm obviously a big fan of Kevin Stefanski.
Well, yeah, not all the time. You need a fundraiser, you're going to love him.
Well, I mean, you know, that helps.
Doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Certainly doesn't. I don't know. Belichick, I don't know if he's ever going to share
He's not going to take you to any fundraiser.
No.
Pete Carroll turns 73 in 2 weeks.
But he's high energy.
I don't care.
He's a young 73, buddy.
Well, okay, but you mentioned... wanting to build something, you want it to be sustainable. You want to have continuity. You want to be consistent. You can't hire someone in their 70s and expect that because what's the shelf life for that job for them?
You're good. All good. I have to agree with you.
Day to day.
Mike in North Olmsted, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I personally think the Browns made a huge mistake not playing Watson the last preseason game, even if for one season, I mean one series.
Well, wait a minute. Stay with me, Mike. Stay with me. What about now that Jermaine Ifedi has been cut? I mean, they had him playing. Would you want to put Deshaun Watson behind Jermaine Ifedi? I would not.
Yeah, he's not a glass house.
Okay.
All these quarterbacks played. Mahomes played. All the starting quarterbacks played in the preseason. What makes him so special? I mean, we didn't even play Garrett.
Well, did they put
starters had their full complement.
Did they put Mahomes out there behind a guy they immediately cut?
Okay, so we don't play him all season, all preseason. We don't play him, and then the first game of the season, he's going to actually take live hits.
Yeah,
really. And we think realistically.
Bad news, Mike. It's too late.
He's going to be ready. We think realistically he's going
to
be ready.
No, I don't know. It's up to him to be ready. I don't realistically think that he's going to be 100% ready. I have no idea. But that I'm not going to sit there and make excuses with you on the phone right now for him. No, I'm not going to do that.
I think it's a total mistake. I think they should have played, if not even the last game. He should have got some reps in the preseason. He should have got it. Practice is practice. We're talking about live action.
I mean,
we're talking about Dallas Cowboys. We're talking about players that are hungry.
All right, Mike, I got to let you go, and thank you very much for the call. You're not going to get me to agree with you because Jermaine Ifedi, first off, was taking – he had four snaps at left tackle before that game in his entire NFL career. They immediately cut him after that season or after that game, so you knew what they thought of him in practice leading up to that. That's the issue that I had with any of this is that Kevin Stefanski said the week before that he was going to play, even before the Vikings game, said he was going to play against the Seattle Seahawks. Then guys got hurt, and he had to change his mind because he saw Jermaine Ifedi out there, and he knew, guys, he knew Jack Conklin and Jed Wills were going to be back. He knew that those guys were going to be back. You are not going to put, I don't care, it doesn't matter. If whoever's your starter, whether it be Derek Carr, whether it be Spurgeon Wynn, whether it be Deshaun Watson, guys, you're not going to put him out there behind that guy. And you can be as mad as you want. You're just not going to do it. Not until you absolutely have to.
If you have to do it week 15, then you have to do it.
Regular season thing is a different entity than a preseason game. But in an ideal world, Deshaun Watson does play in the preseason.
Yeah.
Most of these guys do.
Yeah.
This preseason was not.
Jack Conklin and Jed Wells.
Exactly. This preseason was not an ideal world for the Browns in terms of the offensive line health. I would have loved to have seen Deshaun Watson in the preseason. I wanted to see a little bit of it. But I understand why they chose to go that route. I understand why, even if it's not what I wanted to see.
216-474-0092. All right. Is it too late to mend the fences with the Cleveland Guardians right now? That sounds like we're trying to apologize with each other.
You mean is it too late for them to improve?
Is it too late for them to save themselves here?
No,
and to win the division?
No, they still have a month. They still can do this.
How do we break out of this?
I think that there need to be some roster changes that they can make. I understand Kyle Manzardo is not playing his best baseball in AAA right now. I think George Valera needs a shot to come up from AAA and play with the Guardians.
That's nice.
Stop putting Josh Naylor in the four hole every single night because that's not working out. I think that there are moves, and I'm not saying these moves are going to work. We have no way of knowing if they're going to work or not, but I think they need to try something different. They need to stop slamming their head into the wall, putting out the same lineup every single night that's not working. That's what needs to happen. And I don't know if it's going to work, but I feel like what they're doing now isn't.
Well, when I'm putting guys out there, because you said to yourself, like, well, man, Zardo might not be ready, and George Valera, we don't necessarily know about. These are things we don't know about. He knows the players that he has.
And he knows it's not working.
Well, he knows, but is it a situation where it's not working, or are they just pressing? Because if we're talking about pressing, then, hey, I can put you anywhere in the lineup. But if you're going to press and have bad at-bats, then you're not going to help anybody.
Are you
unless I decide, hey Josh, we're going to knock you down to eight, and he feels like the pressure is completely off of him, and he can go up there and give half-assed swings, but he ends up hitting it out of the park. I think that'd be nuts. He's never going to give you a half-assed ever, by the way. But you understand?
No. But I do think if he's hitting seventh instead of fourth, right behind Jose Ramirez, there is less game pressure on him.
Then who do you replace him with?
I think if Manzardo's up, if George Valera's up, I think
in the cleanup.
You don't. I'm not saying these are great options.
They're
but
not.
Right now, just about every option is better than Josh Naylor. Right now.
And it's John Kinsey Noel.
Yeah.
That's where you put him. I do think some of his success comes from where he's at in the lineup right now.
I agree.
But the other thing that I think it's not that we're losing sight of. It's just we haven't talked about it. And it happens every year. I think it's September 1st is when they go to the expanded roster.
Right.
And hopefully a guy. I understand that they can't, wave the flag on Lane Thomas right now and go, hey, maybe we missed that one. That was our big swing for you guys, and we didn't get it. But bringing a guy like Angel Martinez back on September 1st, where you're not necessarily sending Lane Thomas down to Columbus, but Martinez is back, and now you're putting him in the two-hole, and he's a spark guy. He's not a consistent guy, but he does give you a spark every once in a while, at least from what we saw with him earlier. I'd love to see that guy back. And maybe that's a time that you bring Manzardo back as well. And maybe give Josh Naylor a couple more days rest to get that body ready for a postseason run.
I think that could be a big help, too.
I got one speculative thing on John Kenzie Noel when we come back.